It is time for the Ancient Landmark, brought to you by the Caneyville Church of Christ, meeting at the four-way stop in Caneyville, Kentucky. The Caneyville Church of Christ meets for Bible study on the Lord's Day at 10 a.m. and worship at 10:45. We meet Sunday afternoon at 5. We meet for Wednesday night Bible study at 7. If you'd like to ask a Bible question or schedule a Bible study, please feel free to call 589-4167. Your speaker today is Jared Jacobs.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Ancient Landmark. My name is Joel Rollerson, and it is a pleasure to be able to be here with you today. I invite you to open up your Bibles and follow along with me today as we look through the Bible to see what God's inspired word has to say to each and every one of us today. This program is sponsored by the Caneyville Church of Christ. We're located at the intersection of Highway 62 and Highway 79 right there in Caneyville, Kentucky at the four-way stop just across the street from the Caneyville Bank. The times of services at the Caneyville Church of Christ are 10 a.m. every Sunday morning for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. for worship services, and we also meet again on Sunday evening every single week at 5 p.m. for another worship service then as well. We'd also be happy if you would join us on Wednesday evenings every single week at 7 p.m. We have another Bible study there in the middle of the week as well. Everyone is welcome, and we would love for you to come and worship with us, to join us and study with us from God's inspired word and see what it has to tell us, each and every one of us, today. Today on the Ancient Landmark, I'd like to ask the question, what does the Old Testament say about musical instruments in worship? You know, there are a lot of people, and this is in the religious world and even among churches of Christ, that different ones are asking the question, why can't we use musical instruments in worship services? God allowed musical instruments of worship in the Old Testament. In fact, He even commanded it. So why can't we use musical instruments in worship today? Why do some want to make the argument that, well, you can only use your voices, you can only sing a cappella, and you can't use musical instruments of worship? While others want to say, well, no, you can use them. So what do we find out about here? How can we tell whether or not we can use musical instruments of worship? Specifically asking the question, what does the Old Testament say about these musical instruments of worship? Well, first and foremost, let's look at some of those Old Testament passages that commanded the use of musical instruments in worship, because they are there. I'm not going to deny it. That's what the Bible says. It did indeed command in the Old Testament, God commanded the Israelites to use musical instruments in worship. You can find that in passages such as Psalms chapter 150. Praise the Lord, praise Him in His sanctuary, and praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds, praise Him according to excellent praises. Praise Him with the trumpet sound. Praise Him with the lute harp. Praise Him with the tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals and with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that is breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So yes, there were psalms that included this. You can look at a number of those. There were a number of commandments in the Old Testament that also commanded this. You can find some of these things in passages such as 1 Chronicles chapter 9, beginning there in verse 33. Now these, the singers, the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites, were in the chambers of the temple free from other services, for they were on duty day and night. And these were the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites according to their generations of leaders. These lived in Jerusalem. In Gibeon lived the father of Gibeon, and Jael, the name of his wife Makkah, the firstborn Abdon, then Zur, Kish, Baal, Ner, Nadab, Gedor, Ahio, Zechariah, and Micah. And it just keeps going on and on, naming a bunch of the different tribes and men of Israel of different heads and different families. But notice what it says there in verse 33. These are the singers. These are the ones that were in charge of the music service. They were put in charge of the music service. In fact, not even all the Levites were given that. All are generically put in charge of the music service, the worship service with music. But they were each divided up by family. Certain ones were to do certain things. The same is with all the other commands. You can find that in passages like Leviticus, where you can walk through and you can see certain ones were in charge of certain type of offerings. You want to go back all the way to Exodus, and you can see Aaron and his family were to be the high priests, and the high priests were to descend from there, and the sons of Korah were in charge of certain things. Others were in charge of carrying the temple. Others were in charge of breaking it down. That, yes, there was the tribe of Levi, but then certain families were in charge of other things. And one of the passages that breaks this down even further, we can find this in 1 Chronicles chapter 15, beginning there in verse 16. 1 Chronicles 15, beginning in verse 16, David also commanded the chief of the Levites to appoint their brothers as singers who should play loudly on musical instruments, on harps and lyres and cymbals, and to raise sounds of joy. So the Levites appointed Heman, the son of Joel, and of his brothers Asaph, the son of Berechiah, and the sons of Merari, their brothers, Ethan and the son Cushiah, and their son, and their other, and then with them their brothers of the second order, Zechariah, Jaziel, Shamarah, Chehiel, Uni, Eliab, Micaniah of the gate bearers of Obed-Edom and Jael. The singers, Heman, Asaph, and Ethan were to sound bronze cymbals. Zechariah, Aziel, Shemariah, Jehiel, Uni, Eliab, Micaiah, and Benaiah were to play the harps according to Alamoth, but Mattathiah, Ephilu, and so on and so forth. The passage just keeps going with a lot of complicated names. But it breaks it down, verse 20, there are certain ones that are supposed to play the harps, verse 19, certain ones that are supposed to play the cymbals. Certain ones in verse 21 were supposed to play the lyres. And then others were supposed to direct music in verse 22. That it wasn't just this group thing, that it was broken up by the family. This was supposed to be something that was supposed to be done all day long. So if we want to look at what the Old Testament says about musical instruments, and some that are going to want to say that, you know what, I want to play musical instruments in worship because the Old Testament talks about it. And we have to ask ourselves the question and look at the Old Testament, just what does it say about the use of musical instruments in worship? It's not just that we take passages like Psalms 150 and say, well, yes, there's music and they were supposed to play music in worship. But passages like 1 Chronicles 9 and 1 Chronicles 15 break it down even further. It wasn't just that all of the children of Israel were to play music and worship, is there were specific times, and even according to the family, specific times that and specific people that were supposed to be playing these instruments. It was to be broken up in that manner. It wasn't just a willy-nilly thing. So if we want to say, well, you know what? I want to keep the old law. I want to keep using musical instruments to worship like they did in the Old Testament. Well, then we have to bring other things along with the New Testament, don't we? First and foremost, if we want to fulfill the law as God commanded it, as so many try and justify the use of musical instruments now, first and foremost, you would have to be a Levite. You would have to not only just be a Levite, you'd have to be able to individually track your family all the way back to a certain member of the tribe and of a certain family, to then be able to say, okay, what instrument can my family play? It's not that I can just even somehow, even though that's impossible historically, to somehow be able to track myself back to a Jewish lineage, to then be able to say, I was from this specific family, I was of the tribe of Levi, okay, now I'm of this tribe. And then be able to go and then say that, you know what, now that means I can play the cymbal or the harp or the lyre in worship services. It's not going to work that way. If you truly want to follow the Old Testament, that's the links you would have to go to. And I can almost tell you and promise you, no one of my listening audience is going to be able to say, well, I'm of a Jewish heritage. Or even if you are of a quote-unquote Jewish heritage, as we call it today, it is physically impossible for you to be able to track back your lineage back to a specific member of the tribes of Israel as laid out in the Old Testament. The temples and records were burned when Nero burned down the temple in the first century. There are no records. There is no person alive that can track their lineage back to a specific Jewish family anymore. Everything's been too convoluted, it's been too twisted, and all of those records are gone. That's why you can't keep these old laws. It's not possible. Not to mention that it would exclude you then from being able to do anything else that God commands, because now you're trying to keep the old law, and it was never meant for us in the first place. It was meant for a specific group of people, and it is a foreshadowing of the new law, but it was only ever meant to be followed by the Israelite people. But let's say all of that you just want to throw out the window. You want to ignore that still and say, I'd still like to keep those things. I'd still like to keep musical instruments because the old law said we could do so. Well, if you want to keep one law, that means you have to keep all of them. And there are just a host of things I can get into. But first and foremost, let's just say, all right, I want to keep musical instruments in worship. I want to do what I want to do in worshiping God. I want to follow what the Old Testament said, how we had to offer worship with music. Well, if that's the case, if that's what you want to do, then you would also have to offer sacrifices on a daily basis in the same way they did in the Old Testament. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6, beginning there in verse 8. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth of the altar all night until the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning. And the priest shall put on his linen garment. He shall put on his linen undergarment on his body. He shall take up the ashes to which the fire has reduced the burnt offering on the altar, and put them beside the altar. Then he shall take off his garments, and put on other garments, and carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. The fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it, and it shall not go out. The priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and he shall arrange the burnt offering on it, and shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings. Fire shall be kept burning on the altar continually, and it shall not go out. So if we want to say, as so many do today, I want to keep musical instruments of worship because that's what the old law says, and I want to follow the old law, well, then you'd have to start offering burnt offerings on a daily basis. We have the same argument that we had first and foremost with the musical instruments, that this is the job of the sons of Aaron of that lineage, and none of us can track that back. But if we're throwing out that no, it's not meant for specific members of family, well, then you're going to have to start doing exactly what they were commanded to do in passages like Leviticus chapter 6, verses 8 through 13. You're going to start offering these burnt offerings on a daily basis. You're going to have sets of clothes that you put on to go take away the ashes, to then go change clothes to take the ashes outside the camp, to then come back to set up a burnt offering. You have to tend to it on a daily basis. You can't let the fire go out. There are all these stipulations that you'll have to go through just if you want to have your sins forgotten for a period of time. Not forgiven, just forgotten for a period of time. Some other offerings you'll have to keep. Verse 14 down through 23 of Luke chapter 6 talks about this. This is the law of the grain offering. The sons of Aaron shall offer it before the Lord in front of the altar, and one shall take from it a handful of fine flour of the grain offering, and its oil and the frankincense and all that is in the grain offering, and burn it as a memorial portion on the altar, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. And the rest of it Aaron and his sons shall eat. It shall be eaten unleavened in the holy place, in the court of the tent of the meeting, and they shall eat it. It shall not be baked with leaven. I have given it as the portion of my food offering. It is a thing most holy, like the sin offering and the guilt offering. Every male of the children of Aaron shall eat it, as decreed throughout your generations from the Lord's food offerings. Whatever touches it shall become holy. And he goes on, giving further detail of the grain offering, telling them the stipulations and things that they would have to do in order to give this offering. We continue on, Luke chapter 7, another offering that they would have to give on a daily basis, the sin offering. Luke chapter 7, beginning there in verse 11, this is the law of sacrifice of peace offerings that one may offer to the Lord. If he offers it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer it then with the thanksgiving of sacrifice of unleavened loaves, mixed with oil, unleavened wafers, smeared with oil, and loaves of fine flour and oil. With the sacrifice of this peace offering for thanksgiving, he shall bring his offering with the loaves of leavened bread. From it he shall offer one loaf from each offering as a gift to the Lord. It shall belong to the priest who throws the blood on the peace offerings. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten on the day of his offerings. And he keeps going on and on even further there, talking about the sin offerings, the peace offerings, back in Luke chapter 6, beginning there in verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, if anyone sins and commits a breach of faith against the Lord by deceiving his neighbor in a manner of deposit or security or through robbery, or if he has oppressed his neighbor or has found something lost and lied about it, sweared falsely in any and all things that people do and sin thereby, if he has sinned and he has realized his guilt, he will restore what he took by robbery, what he got by oppression, or the deposit that was committed to him, or the lost thing that was found, or anything about which he has sworn falsely, he shall restore it in full, shall add a fifth to it and give it to him who belongs on the day he realizes his guilt. He shall bring the priest as his priest as his compensation to the Lord, a ram without blemish out of the flock, or its equivalent for a guilt offering, and the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord. He shall be forgiven of any things that one may do and thereby become guilty. So all of these procedures that the children of Israel would have to go through, all of the sacrifices, all of the blood that would be shed, all of the constant work that had to be done by the priests, by the Levites, and even by the other children of Israel, on a day-to-day basis, that they would have to offer these grain offerings, these sin offerings, these trespass offerings, that every time they would commit a sin, every time they would do something wrong, we have to go get a ram, we have to go get a lamb, we have to go sacrifice an animal. We have to find someone else to do it because we can't do it. So now we have to go and find a priest, and not as someone to try and call themselves priests today, but of that lineage of the Levitical priesthood that no one can trace their lineage back to, all of these steps, all of this process, and there are so many more things we could go into. We could go into the ways in which they had to remain clean. We could go into their dietary restrictions. We could go into all kinds of commands that God commanded them to follow under the old law. And if we want to say, I want to keep musical instruments, I want to keep that in worship services, the old law commands, and it says we're supposed to do what it says, it says we're supposed to follow it, then you have to take everything else with it, including one of the greatest things. You know, that trespass offering we just read about, that sin offering we just read about. When you commit a sin, there's no forgiveness of your sins. You have to go through this bloody ordeal, this constant process of go and offer another sacrifice. I send it in, send again, go back and offer another sacrifice, cleanse yourself, offer a ram, go back to your daily living. Okay, now I have to go offer this other sacrifice, go back, offer this sacrifice, come back. It's just a tedious thing to constantly do. I can't imagine why anyone would want to go back to that with the amount of work that would be required by each and every one of us. The constant tedious preparation of sacrifices, the blood that's constantly being spilt, and everything else that we're supposed to do there. You know, this is why the people rejoiced in the New Testament when they finally got salvation, when they didn't have to go back to the blood of bulls and goats, when they didn't have to go through this tedious process on a day-to-day basis, but that they could just pray to God and have their sins forgiven. That their sins could be totally forgiven, not just forgotten for a period of time, but totally forgiven when they were baptized, when they did as God commanded them, that through Jesus, they had access to salvation and everything else there. Nowhere in the New Testament are you going to read about first century Christians bemoaning the loss of musical instruments. Because they recognized, if we want to keep those things, if we want to keep doing what God says, if we want to keep following those laws, then we have to keep everything else the Old Testament says. And they didn't want to do that. They didn't want to keep all those old laws. Yes, they did try and selectively keep a few of them. They tried to keep circumcision and a few other things there. And Paul and others completely shut them down because they were trying to keep and require things from the old law. And they told them the same thing that I have to tell everyone else about musical instruments. The New Testament doesn't speak to it. It doesn't command us to keep the musical instruments in worship today. And if you want to keep them, you're going to have to keep the entirety of the old law, and that is physically impossible. But if you want to try it, just recognize how much you're giving up, how great a lifestyle change you'll have to make. And you won't even be able to use all the instruments you want to use. There's nowhere in the Old Testament that talks about the organ, or the electric guitar, or the drum set, or everything else that we have there, or the rock band. No, it specifically mentions things like the flute, the lyre, and the harp. Most of the musical instruments people are using today weren't even listed in the Old Testament, so most of that's even disqualified if you want to keep those things. Do you realize how ridiculous this is? By trying to keep this small section of the old law because we miss it or we want it back or that sounds better, we're saying the very thing that so many of the Old Testament people would just baffle at us for. Because now we have access to salvation. We have access through Christ to have our sins forgiven. If we believe him, if we repent of our sins, if we'll confess him as our Lord and Savior, and we'll be baptized. But no, so many people want to throw that all away because I like the sound of a guitar in worship. I like the sound of playing the drums. I think it sounds interesting. I think it sounds neat. It adds more emotion to me in worship services. When there's nowhere in the New Testament that talks about that. But before we continue on with our lesson, I want to pause for just a moment to remind you that this program is brought to you by the Caneyville Church of Christ. We meet near the intersection of Highway 62 and Highway 79, right there in Caneyville, Kentucky, just across the street from the Caneyville Bank, right there at the four-way stop in Grayson County, Kentucky. The times of services of the Caneyville Church of Christ are 10 a.m. every Sunday morning for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. for worship, and also at 5 p.m. every Sunday evening for another worship service then as well. We also meet in the middle of the week every week on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for another Bible study then as well. All are welcome. We hope you would come and join us. We hope you would come and study with us anytime you're in the area and have the opportunity to stop by. If you ever have questions about some things you've come across here in the radio program, in your own Bible studies or anything else there, I hope you would ask us some questions. And we could point you to God's Word. We could show you what it says. And if you ever have those questions, please feel free to contact us and we'll help you in any way that we can. First and foremost, you can find us at our website at CaneyvilleChurchOfChrist.com. That website is CaneyvilleChurchOfChrist.com. There you'll find previous episodes of the radio program, of bulletin articles we've submitted and posted there, of radio programs, of sermons, and all kinds of material there at your disposal. We have daily blogs going up there that you can read at every chance you get. You can study those out. You can reply even right there under the blog post, and we'll get back with you where you can, and we'll answer your questions. If Facebook is more your thing, you can find much of the same material there on Facebook at the Caneyville Church of Christ page. Look up those things. Hopefully they'll be useful to you. We post links to the radio programs, to bulletins, to articles, to YouTube videos that we produce. And we also have a monthly reading calendar that if you want to read through the Bible in an entire year, we have the plan right there for you to do it. If you just want to follow it, you can read through the Bible yourself in an entire year. If you prefer the more direct method, you can call us or text us at the phone number 589-4167. That number again is 589-4167. Call us, text us, leave us a message, and we'll get back with you when we can. If you're interested, we can send you a free correspondence course. Just send us your address at 589-4167 on the website or on Facebook, and we'll send you that correspondence course, and you can study that at your own time and leisure, whatever works best for you. Or even if you want to meet one-on-one, Jared or I or both of us will happily meet up with you. We'll sit down and we'll study God's Word with you at a time and place that is most convenient for you. We'll work it out. We'll meet up. We'd be happy to do so. We'd love taking time to study God's Word with other people. Whatever the case may be, we hope you won't be shy. We hope you'll be interested in God's Word, as I hope you are by listening to the program and by studying and following along with us. We hope to hear from you, and we hope to be able to help you in any and every way that we can. But as we've been talking about musical instruments and specifically what the Old Testament says, that all of these tedious things, and we only glimpsed at a tiny piece of it, that you would have to keep in order to drag along the musical instruments that were commanded by God in the New Old Testament, and even the specific ways that he commanded are not physically possible to keep, do you realize that by doing all of these things, by wanting to try and require musical instruments in worship because the Old Testament talks about it, that you're wanting to drag along everything else with it, and do you recognize what you're giving up? That Christ has come into the world. He was the Son of God. He humbled himself as a man. He came, he died on the cross to give each and every one of us access to the forgiveness of our sins if we'll simply do as he told us. If we'll repent of our sins, if we'll confess him as our Lord and Savior, if we will come forward, if we will be baptized for the remission of our sins, then we can have our sins forgiven and we can be established in his kingdom. But no, if you want to keep what the old law says, if you want to do what it says, now you're going back to the other system that Hebrews 10 and verse 1 talks about. For since the law is but a shadow of good things to come, instead of a true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, they would not have ceased to be offered, since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sin. But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sin every year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but my body you have prepared for me, and burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." So those sacrifices that we just talked about, that we looked at in Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 7, those sin offerings, those blood offerings, those burnt offerings, God says he takes no pleasure in them. They weren't fulfilling what we as humanity need in order to have our sins taken away. Verse 4 says it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. If that worked, if that did take away sin, Christ wouldn't have had to come into the world, as Hebrews 10 and verse 5 said. There would have been no reason, because we could keep the old law, we could do what it says, and we could be sinless. We could have our sins taken away, we could be righteous, and we could have a relationship with God. But he said that's not possible. It doesn't work that way. It never worked that way. So if I say, if you say that you want to keep the old law, if you want to keep part of it, if you want to say that, well, you know, the Old Testament talked about musical instruments, and I want to keep that, do you recognize what you're giving up? You're giving up the salvation of your soul. You're saying that I don't care what God says. I want to keep part of the old law, even though it's completely gone away and we don't follow it anymore. We couldn't physically follow it anymore even if we wanted to. But no, some want to keep the old law. Some want to keep parts of it and try and work it in. My question to you is, why would you want to go back? Why would you want to go back, and we only read a small portion of it in Leviticus 6 and 7, to keep all of these commandments, to do all of these things, to go back to the bloody way of sacrificing these animals on a daily and yearly basis, when it does no good, when you can't have your sins forgiven of you? No, God just forgets them and passes them on for a time. Why would you want to go back, when right now, this is what the prophets, this is what the kings, this is what everyone prophesied about in the Old Testament, and this is what they were looking forward to, salvation from Christ? There's nowhere, I'll say it again, in the New Testament, where the first century Christians are bemoaning the fact that they can't use musical instruments of worship and worship service. No, they have this new law. They have access to God, they have access to salvation, and in that they were rejoicing. They were happy. And when God commands them in passages like Ephesians 5 and verse 19 to sing, not play, Ephesians 5:19, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, not on your harp, on your heart, with your heart. They were happy to do it. They were happy to fulfill that command. They didn't want to go back. They didn't say they wanted to go back to the old law, because they finally had access to what they had been looking forward to all along. Why do so many, it boggles my mind, say they want to go back to musical instruments and worship service? Now, that doesn't mean you can't listen to musical instruments when just playing around. It doesn't mean you can't listen to bluegrass music or country music or whatever you desire to listen to. But in worship, the only thing the New Testament talks about is singing. A very specific thing. The word it uses there is salos. That means to play on or with your heart, not some musical or mechanical instrument. It can't praise God. It can't do any of the things talked about in Ephesians 5 and verse 19. So we have no need for it, and we can't follow it. So I have to ask you, as a final question, as we close out this lesson and I give it to you, what would you rather have? Would you rather have salvation from God? Would you rather have forgiveness of sins? Or would you rather try and attempt to keep the old law that you cannot possibly keep? Thank you for your time and your attention today. I hope this has been helpful. Thank you, and God bless.
You have been listening to The Ancient Landmark, brought to you by the Caneyville Church of Christ. Tune in tomorrow at this time for another study from the Book of God.